We're just gonna.
I'm craving pizza.
Just gonna wing it.
Yeah, like you.
Welcome to the Nerdcast, here for another edition.
Is it a special one?
I didn't say that.
He didn't.
Another edition.
It's special
of,
because Adam isn't here.
Well, our podcast, episode. The Nerdcast.
I wouldn't call that special. I'd call that sad.
Oh, so we are minus Adam tonight, but as you can already hear, we do have Tyler, Bob, Aaron, and myself, Iggy. I won't do separate introductions because I was just recapping some episodes and I always get criticized when I introduce myself after everybody else, so... We'll lump us all together.
Who criticizes you when you have to?
Never.
Oh, no.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Just, anyways.
Nobody will criticize you.
So
in a
it's
safe
a.
Place.
Thank you.
By the way, this is Iggy.
It is. So, like I said, minus Adam, but we are gathered here today on this Memorial Day holiday.
Okay.
Are we burying
the reason we're gathered here today in this place?
On this Memorial Day holiday, remembering Adam as he. Well, I don't know. He's in North Carolina for a wedding, but somebody posted a picture to his Facebook timeline before he went that was like of this creature that they're finding in the sea there, like some typical...
Is that that big old eel-looking thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Monster?
Like some kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah,
ghost
it's like,
fish, I think they call
that's
it.
That's why I don't go in the ocean.
So maybe he won't be coming back. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or he'll stick to the pool, as he said. But anyways...
With his little waders on.
So jumping right in, it was an X-Men weekend. What's the numbers at the box office?
Seven.
Good answer.
90 for the 3-day, it was 91 million. 4-day, I think it did 111 million.
So solid, ooh. But nothing crazy.
Yeah, it didn't beat the total of The Last Stand, because I think they did about, in 3 days, it did 120 million.
Well, Last Stand was going off of X2.
Yeah, everybody expected a lot and got nothing.
And did not get a lot, I guess.
Yeah, that's a way to put it. So X-Men, so Bob
got
saw it.
Yeah. And I am
spoiler free thoughts.
Oh man, that's gonna be tough because there are so many twists in this movie. It's not even
spoiler free thoughts.
The only reason you're saying that is because you haven't seen it or Tyler.
No, excuse me. Actually, I defend the spoiler pretty.
I'm cool with
often.
Hearing all the stuff. Tell me what happens.
No.
Well, first of all, I have to tell you, I saw. And in the coolest theater I've ever been in.
Oh, tell us about Cinetopia.
Cinetopia is it's a cinema complex in Kansas City in Overland Park. It has 18 screens. I can't remember who developed it, but there are like three of them up in Washington, and there's one other place, and Kansas City is its next area, and it's in a area called Prairie Fire, and it is just like. Yuppie city. It is like just gorgeous restaurants. There's everywhere you have to go. It's
so in Overland Park?
Yeah. It's like an hour and a half, 2 hour wait just to get seated. The theater has three different styles. They call it the GXL, which is very similar to an IMAX theater. Those theaters have the Dolby Atmos sound system, which is you don't know, it's like 128 speakers throughout the auditorium, and it is just phenomenal.
So did you see a movie here?
Is it like?
Was there? Did you see X-Men?
Yes, I did see X-Men.
Okay,
but I mean, it was an experience just to see the theater itself because it's just gorgeous. And then to go into the theater, you have to go down this tunnel, which is like 50 feet long, and it's like a animated movie poster all the way. It wraps around, and like they had like. What was that? The Million Ways to Die in the West. And they had horses running around it. And they have all the characters on the wall moving and everything. It was really neat. And then they went to X-Men. And it was all over the place. And then they have the parlors. They have parlor theaters, which is like... it's kind of like the Forkin... Or like Alamo Draft House. But the seats are all recliners. They're electrical recliners. Really nice. And then they have the living room theaters, which are couches, love seat couches. And I think there's maybe like you could seat maybe like 100 people in that theater. And it just looks great. X-Men was definitely, I think we've talked about it in the past. It is just a phenomenal movie. There's just so many spoilers. I can't even get too far into it. But... you will definitely be satisfied by the end of this movie. I think CinemaScore.
Guaranteed satisfaction, right?
Guaranteed satisfaction. Okay. I'll tell you this right now. It will wipe away the stench of The Last Stand and almost all of Origin Wolverine almost completely.
Is it the best X-Men movie to date?
Comes very close to X-Men 2.
X-Men really United? Better, but so not better than United?
I would say it's like on a very even keel. Actually, I'll take it back. I'll say it's probably better.
Okay. How does it rank up against other big big ones like, I guess, where would you put it next to, I guess, like Avengers?
Avengers. It'd fall below Avengers.
Okay.
But it's a good story. It's very it's an intelligently written script because you really have to have to listen to it because there's a lot of stuff going on here, and you have to keep your eyes on the screen because there are cameos all over the place. I'm not even go into who's
he's
all.
He's inching closer and closer to it.
But I can't tell you. But everybody is in this movie, and that's all I can say about that.
All right. So the rest of us have failed this weekend as we prep for Indie PopCon and Denver Comic Con on the schedule. So we haven't all got to see it, but I'm sure Bob's thoughts will be in writing as well. Maybe a little less spoiler free. The other big news this past weekend in Marvel Cinematic is Edgar Wright's departure from Ant-Man. Joss Whedon posted a picture on Twitter of holding the Cornetto. Who else? James Gunn, really lengthy kind of statement about it. Yeah. With a really good statement too.
It's disappointing, and I think a lot of people are upset because, I mean, everyone really loves what Marvel's been doing, and I think everyone really loves Edgar Wright. I mean, between his three movies that were his, plus like Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, he's done some really amazing things. But these kinds of things happen in movies all the time. There haven't been many that were this high profile in terms of, you know, Marvel Universe / Edgar Wright, you know, two big high profile people with a lot of, not many movies get followed this closely over a year before they come out, you know, so because these kind of writer shuffles, rewrites, directors changing happens all the time. But it's upsetting, but these usually, hopefully it doesn't spell ill for the movie itself. I don't know. There's been a lot of speculation as to why.
I've heard
that he was very behind schedule. Apparently, it was one of the reasons. So
one of the things I just read today is that that the studio actually rewrote a lot of the script. They took his script and they rewrote a lot of it.
Really? To fit it with it. Well, and that's right. Another thing that I think made it a little bit more surprising was he's been working on this project, you know, independently for, 7-8 years now? I think he started working on, test footage and proof of concept for Ant-Man back in, 2005, 2006. Like, this is something he's wanted to do for a while, back before the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe, was what it is today. And I think knowing how unique of a filmmaker is, maybe the stress of big budget / shoehorning his vision into what's now become a very I shouldn't say constrained, but
a shared vision.
He's got to fit it into a larger narrative. May have been a little much, but you know, who knows? Movie doesn't come out for another year. They'll find it. They'll announce another director. They'll go forward. So
I think part of it too is at least the more diehard comic fans already were a little bit worried just with some of the way they're attacking the characters, the casting news and stuff like that. So it just feels like this is another negative in a series of negatives before we've even gotten to that point. I don't know.
I feel like we've reached a point between Marvel and even Disney to a lesser extent, and specifically, I would say, like Kevin Feige and the people who are really, you know, holding the reins of the Marvel. They've bought some trust. They've bought some benefit of the doubt. Like, until they really, really foul something up, I think it's a little early to get real down on decisions that are made.
Have they actually even started filming that we know of?
Oh, I think it has been in production for a little while. I don't know if they've started.
I don't know if they've started principal
photography, but I know that it's been in.
Yeah, I know they've announced pretty much the whole cast. And
so,
But
we shall see.
It's going to be interesting when you have Josh Whedon, who is like way up there in the Marvel Universe, just kind of backing his boy.
Yeah. Well, way up there in the Marvel Universe as of like a year ago.
Yeah.
He made one movie. And, you know,
well,
I
he's
mean,
in process
really
of making the
I know, but
Avengers.
Still at the same time.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't want to.
The other thing, too, is you're dealing with a group of directors that have a really strong core following. You mm-hmm. talk about Joss Whedon before he hit the Avengers. Edgar Wright, you mentioned, I mean, he's got a very faithful group. And then James Gunn has a good following as well. So they bring a new audience to that table that that may have not even seen the movie in the first place.
They did the same thing. Jon Favreau, you know,
with Iron Man,
has a really big had a big and not for things like Iron Man,
right?
Things like Swingers, Maid,
yeah,
Elf, even to a lesser degree. But at the same time, they went with people who
he didn't direct.
I don't think a lot of people.
Well,
who
I don't
were,
care. He was. In
I don't
Friends,
think a lot of people.
And that's why he had a following.
Went and saw Thor because they loved Kenneth Branagh's Much Ado About Nothing, or went and saw. Okay, that's a lie. I went and saw Captain America because I really love The Rocketeer. But I don't know. A lot of people even know that Joe Johnston made The Rocketeer.
I think everybody in this room does, for sure.
I mean, it's been a mix. It's been a mix of, I mean.
Agreed.
Kenneth Branagh's big name, but he's not, you know, and Joe Johnston. But definitely Jon Favreau, Edgar Wright, James Gunn. So.
They definitely aren't doing. They're not running after the J.J. Abrams, the people like that of this universe,
yes,
that's for sure.
Because Disney already got locked him up for Star Wars.
My point of the example is they're not going after those big action directors, big... They're not booking Michael Bay and J.J. Abrams,
thank
those types
God
of people.
On that one.
Yeah. And speaking of, Michael Bay really have no... I can constantly forget there's even a new Transformers movie coming out this summer.
Because
I've kind of blocked it out of my mind.
You're trying.
Oh, that's right, because he got Megan Fox back.
No, that's for
that's
the Ninja
for the Turtles
movie.
Oh, that's right.
However,
that's gonna happen.
They have now joined the age of the viral marketing campaigns. You know, things like Prometheus, X-Men, Days of Future Past, a bunch of other ones have really gotten on board with lately, too, is that viral marketing campaign. So if you go to TransformersAreDangerous.com, and it's a whole campaign about the, you know, the alien race coming to Earth and being dangerous. And so they have a series of posters, everything like that. So it's a whole viral campaign about how dangerous these aliens are.
Kind of stuff. Those songs, I mean, a lot of those things are kind of fun when movies or video games do them. Like, it's a lot of special times that they make them a game of it where you can discover new and interesting things with it. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know how much work goes into those sometimes for a thing like Transformers and no one sees it, you know. Like,
I was going to say, I tried Prometheus, and I just got totally lost.
Yeah.
That was just really complex.
It's fun and builds some atmosphere for the diehard fans, but...
The Prometheus viral campaign actually really got
really
me even more and more excited for it. Just, I mean, just Michael Fassbender alone, first
yes,
of all.
Michael Fassbender
but he was...
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that video of him, you know, as the
product.
Like, yes. He was just...
It was
really
cool.
Awesome. But
I wanted
to
buy him right then and there. I would have paid all the money.
By the way, did I tell you Michael Fassbender was an X-Men? He was awesome.
Oh, wait. Fassbender is an X-Men? I didn't know that.
I forgot to mention that. I know you two would just go giddy about it.
He's a great actor. He really is.
I tell you, it was,
I'm excited about his Hamlet. Macbeth, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, the poster alone, that poster art alone looked convincing.
He's
going to
be the
convincing.
Best Macbeth ever.
But no, he's fantastic in the bigger movies he's doing now. The Magneto role, everything like that. But he's also in his Steve McQueen films, his independent movies.
I think they're going into pre-production for Prometheus 2 right now.
Which, I'm not
and
surprised.
It is supposed to be geared more as an alien.
Oh, well, that's good.
I didn't really. I know, and it's hard because it's the diehard alien fans were the ones
that have really been.
Angry about the first Prometheus. And I understand there was probably a lot left to be desired, maybe a lot unanswered in that movie as well. But it wasn't that terrible of a movie.
No, I really liked it. I thought it was good.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
It was good, but yeah, it's going to be leading more into the Alien franchise.
The problem is you'll hear a lot about Prometheus, about how it leaves, there's a lot of loose ends in it. But that's if you tie it into that whole alien thing with that. As a movie, as a standalone movie, not to say there isn't any loose ends, but it really, it's a complete movie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. It's it visually stunning as well. It's absolutely gorgeous. So, but Prometheus 2, yeah, that'll be interesting. Everything's getting a sequel now. We were watching Miss Doubtfire this weekend, and we're talking about the sequel that's supposed to be for that. It's getting.
It's like the 1980s all over again.
It's I tell you, driving by the theater, every title on the marquee has a 2 behind it.
I mean, that's not new, but I think they did a study recently over the last 10 or 20 years of like percentage of movies that are completely original, you know, content, like a totally original idea, and it's the percentage has fallen precipitously,
drastically
over the last 20, 30 years, so year by year by year.
Yes.
And being a new franchise, being, I guess, original intellectual product, I guess.
So, X-Men, and we think it'll hold the fort for a while. Edge of Tomorrow is picking up a lot of steam now. We brought that up on the last show. A little bit of uncertainty with everything. Some initial reviews are popping out.
Yeah.
Screenings happening. A lot of praise for this movie. Yeah. There is a lot of praise out there right now for it. So it should be interesting. It's getting me more excited.
I don't know if it'll be first place the week it comes out.
This weekend, right?
No, next weekend.
Next week? Wow, because we have a...
You guys are going to be in Indy, and I'm going
to
be...
Maybe it's next Wednesday. I need to look more into that screener information.
No, we won't be in Indy when it comes out.
No, this weekend is Maleficent and Million Ways to Die in the West.
So are you going to... In Indy, are you going to go see A Million Ways to Die in the West?
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be a stupid movie, just saying.
What is your problem?
Oh, you are going
to
be so...
I'm really starting to despise Seth MacFarlane.
She's trying to kick up
dirt. He's not original anymore. He's just boring. He's like the same thing. It's like, oh, let me go see Family Guy in the Wild West now.
And that's wrong.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one, first of all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to see what you're basing this off of other than Family Guy.
So she's trying to go with Ted, American Dad, following the same formula as Ted, was very much a lot of just Family Guy jokes, it seemed like in a movie. However, everything we've seen from this new one is in no way indication of that. Like, Ted, it was... I don't think that the jokes
I mean, some of the non-sequiturs had a very Family Guy-esque feel. I don't feel like the jokes that were in Ted were so much...
The plot was just like Family Guy.
You have to elaborate on that statement.
Yeah. It reminded me too much of Family Guy. That's all. It didn't seem very...
But it's not the plot. It's not the jokes. It's his style of humor where he makes the joke... And he gets the punchline, and then he keeps pushing it, and keeps pushing it, and keeps pushing it.
Yeah,
and
he'll tread. It's his style.
And it works for some people, and it doesn't work for other people. Because you watch him, like in a normal raunchy movie, like let's take, for instance, if you watch Ted, the sequence where Ted is flirting with
the checkout
girl. Uh-huh. And he's doing like the motions and like doing like the fake fellatio and stuff like that. And like you get the joke.
Iggy
and then he goes
to
that next step. He takes another step, and he takes another step, and he takes another step.
And then the whole joke on that is, okay, that's where you draw the line then?
Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, but that's his style of humor. And sometimes it works because you're
old.
Like, oh, I don't see that.
It's not your cup of tea anymore. No, it's not. It's not that it's not my cup of tea. It's old. Like, really, we got it. You're overdoing it.
I think you... That's the definition
Which
of not being your thing.
Interesting.
Because people
it's
still love it.
Old.
I'm totally on board with
judging by the
guy,
numbers that
it's
going to pull in this weekend, I don't.
It's
and the numbers
I think
that
a lot
Ted
of people
pulled
still
in.
Okay with it.
Yeah, I don't.
It's kind of like how
the fact that Ted's
Adam
already
Sandler's
been greenlit for a sequel
humor
as well
is not necessarily holding up to. Like,
okay, Aaron, you're gonna have to stop right there because the argument you're making is not supported by the facts. No, hold on. Adam Sandler's numbers at the box office. Have dropped drastically.
Yes.
Yes. Ted, greenlit for a sequel. This other movie, Ted was number one for more than 1 week.
Give it 2 more years.
It's on its way out.
Probably.
All right, hipster Aaron.
The only reason why Seth MacFarlane is still continuing to see the success, I think, is because of the huge numbers of immature audience goers.
Count me in.
God, what is your problem tonight?
I've always felt.
Not like, only that, like the problem
out.
Is though
it's so raunchy, and that's why it's successful, and that's it.
But when you look, but if you look,
I'm
back
sorry,
because other...
that. I mean, you sound like someone in the '80s or '70s who was really pissed that people liked Animal House. This is super crude and terrible. Now it's like, you know, applauded as one of like.
But that was always funny.
Yeah, maybe when you were a kid.
But it was clever.
It's super clever. And a lot of people feel the same way. I'm not trying to probably put Ted on the same level Animal House. No, but your complaint was it's so raunchy and it's immature. It's like, have you seen Animal House?
That's not my problem with it. Because if that was a problem, then this is the end wouldn't have been one of my favorite movies of the entire year. No, it's unfair because the only reason it has remained so popular in the box office, I think, is because it's raunchy and because that younger group of teenagers is like, oh, I love Ted because it was raunchy. I didn't understand really any of it except a prostitute pooped
so
on the floor.
So the gist of it is you don't like it and other people who do like it are stupid.
I'm more confused because
you don't like it, other people who dislike it are immature and stupid.
I don't think it's very clever. We've had this conversation.
We get
before.
That, and that's what like we're saying. It's not your cup of tea, but apparently it's more than just not your cup of tea. It's people who like it are immature and stupid.
I think it's
but,
on its way out.
I mean, but where do you draw the line as what is clever?
All right.
What
well,
is
when
not
Ted
clever, 3
makes like
I mean,
a billion dollars, I'll make sure to come and find you, and we're going to play this for you.
I mean, okay. I'm looking at like 22 Jump Street or Neighbors or something like that. I mean, those are going to be kind of fall within the same realm as
the Farrelly Brothers,
right? Farrelly Brothers. I just got done watching There's Something About Mary, you know?
Into the mics, people. You guys are all
that legit? He's like
this
eating
mic
the microphone. I don't know.
But even
well,
when you turn like this.
To be fair, you're on the side of it
yeah,
like this.
That doesn't work.
You got to be speaking into the tip.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to.
Just the tip. Just for a second. See what it feels like.
There it is. Got him in the face.
All righty.
When it brushes the lips like that, that's
I'm going to move the mic so it's in front of my mouth.
Everybody talking to the tips of your mics, and I understand we're sitting in other areas of the studio, but you can't look at each other while talking. You need to still speak into the mic.
Well, I mean, so cool. Any other fan bases you want to lambaste before we move on? Anyone else you want
to
call immature and ignorant?
I'm saying that it's still popular.
We got it. No,
we
don't worry. We got it. We got what you're saying.
But anyway.
Tyler, are you going to update the list on the wall over there of stuff Erin doesn't like?
I mean, I've gotten to the point now where I'm trying to find things she does like.
Oh,
I feel like that
on.
Would be an easier task.
Or at least be
a shorter
less
list.
Wall space,
really,
for sure.
You have hammered me on things that I don't like before. Or that, I mean, I do like.
Wait.
Like what?
Like.
Name one thing that you like.
Ooh.
I like your mom.
Robert Redford.
My mom's a lovely
lady.
Ooh, Robert
no.
Redford.
No, that's not it.
Lord of the Rings movies by Peter Jackson? No. Anything
Muppets.
Done by Peter Jackson? Nope. Muppets?
You know,
nope.
To be fair, I don't really have an opinion on
things
that
were,
I like because you guys
things that got cool
stuff.
After you started doing them? Yeah, not a big fan of those either.
Tyler can't talk on that one, though.
That's true.
The two hipsters
still,
in the room.
I still like them.
Not
I just get
hipster.
Them mad at the new people who like them. I don't stop liking them.
You're that nerd.
Yeah,
you're
that's
that.
True. I'm okay.
You know what
so anyway.
I don't get militant about it, though. Erin gets angry.
So anyway,
they become people who don't like who like things that she dislikes become ignorant curs. Apparently,
I did not say any of that.
You
used
the word ignorant and immature. A
I
couple
did not
times.
Use the word ignorant.
She's not going to argue the immature word because she used that quite a few times. I don't remember the ignorant one though.
I wasn't calling the people who enjoy that stuff ignorant or immature.
You said they're young and they're immature. That's why they like
I
the
think
raunchy
that
humor.
It has
That was a quote.
It has lasted because of the number of people who are immature who happen to like that movie.
What the hell is going on here?
Bob's really trying hard to get us out of this conversation, and I'm going
to
let him.
Let's
have
one
what
of those
Bob,
awesome
can, hold on. Hold on. Bob, what do you have to say here?
Hey, if being young and immature.
No, you're getting us out of this conversation.
Okay, well, I was going to say, so you're not going to go see it next week. So the week after that, which is between the conventions, we got Edge of Tomorrow and we got Fault in Our Stars.
That's what I'm saying about Edge of Tomorrow. I don't think it's number one because it still has to, it's got to keep up with Million Ways to Die in the West, plus X-Men will still be in theaters, and then.
I'm not talking about pure numbers. I'm talking about the fact that we're worried for another Oblivion. And remember Adam was saying, Tom Cruise, fool me once.
I don't think anyone was really worried about it except for you.
No, that was Adam who ran that.
Oh, okay.
Ran with that conversation. I was kind of.
I think it's going to be interesting.
I don't know. It's hard, too, because since that conversation, I've also watched. I stayed up late. I just started Jack Reacher on Netflix.
It's really fun.
I like Jack
I was like,
Reacher.
This is really a good movie. I stayed I up really late watching it, and I thought, oh, I'll watch half of it tonight, and
no,
if I like it, I'll come back
it's
to
not,
it.
That's what I try to do. That's what I try to do when I watch it.
And
I watched
the whole damn thing?
No, I watched the whole thing because I was just so involved with it. Yeah. It was really
It's
movie.
Great, but it's fun.
Exactly.
It's well made.
Yeah.
The action sequences are solid.
The wonderful cliche. Rain starts falling right during the act.
The humor is funny. The sequence where he's beating the guy up in the bathroom at like the drug dealer's house place is fun. Like it's kinetic.
Yeah.
The only complaints I heard about that movie were, you know, it's not real deep. And number two, it's based on a series of books.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just like any time you do the whole book to book. the Jack Reacher in the books is
nothing
is
like Tom Cruise.
6 foot five, like brick shit house, and Tom Cruise is all of five foot seven.
In Tom Cruise's defense, he carries himself in that movie
he acts like he's a six foot five brick house. And they do some movie magic to make him look taller, but still, everyone who stands up next to him, you know, towers.
Oh yeah.
Him.
All I have to say about Jack Reacher is Rosamund Pike.
Oh my god, Rosamund Pike. Ooh. I'm a fan.
Big fan.
Good, good. I'd say more about it, though. But
so, I mean, what are we going? Are we going to go see 22 Jump Street when we're in Denver?
No, I'm not going to see 22 Jump Street. 21 Jump Street wasn't like.
What is it? Chair and done for you?
No, I'm not. I'm not even going to say that. I didn't think it was that funny. Like it wasn't that good of a movie. 21 Jump Street. I was not impressed with it. The best part of it was the cameo towards the end. That was the only.
I don't go out of my way to see those movies. Like it now, that's one of those ones that's on plan. So I'll, if it's on TV, I'll sit and watch it. And it's not bad. It's just not something I'm going to go out of my way to go to the theater.
That's why I'm like,
true of me now with most comedies. I don't remember the last time I went and saw a pure like.
Oh, this is the end.
Comedy in the theater.
This is the end. I saw it twice in theater. It was fantastic
because it was awesome.
No, with 21 Jump Street, I'm the same way. I'm not mad that I saw it. I'm not like, oh, this was such a waste. But at the same time, it's like. Do I really want to see a sequel of this?
I feel
not
like that whole James Franco, what's his name?
His brother?
No, James Franco and
Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen thing is on its way out.
I don't know. It's probably
too immature.
It's become a little too inundated. They do that same kind of shtick stoner. You know, stoner buddy thing over too much. I really just don't.
Bob,
I think audiences are going to get to a point soon where they just it doesn't work for them anymore.
Really, I'm cool with that.
We can't.
You know, I like it.
Oh, it's okay for that to be your thing, and no,
I'm immature, and it's not really cool.
It's okay for that to be your thing, but for Seth MacFarlane to be someone's thing.
This is going
to
be.
Here's the sad thing about it. I don't even like.
This is
going to
be a terrible episode. You guys keep going with this.
I know.
So
Iggy's eyes over here twitching like he's getting.
Well, actually, it is twitching from the. Allergies, but that's all.
But I have to agree with Tyler. I mean, I get really tired of Seth Rogen still doing the stoner thing. I mean,
Mike and you just it's fantastic.
It's you know I probably am the only one in the room that hated Pineapple Express.
I feel like we need to get him headphones.
Pineapple Express was probably
it wasn't that great.
I hated it.
It was good. It's just when you compare it to some of these other ones we talk about with those guys.
I feel like they got high throughout.
I feel like they get
to me. A Seth Rogen movie is basic. To me, it's coming off as an excuse for him just to get high on screen. He did it in Neighbors. It's like literally every movie he's in.
You saw Neighbors
well,
also.
Plays
oh, that's
a character,
right.
Like and like, there's been a lot of
but no, no,
after
he doesn't
Neighbors.
Play a character. He's playing himself.
No, no,
basically.
He plays a character who's this like man child, and that's become the humor. Like between the Judd Apatow movies and the thing, it's this whole new. Like cinema comedy now is the man child, like
but it is himself.
Something this guy who I know,
watch his video on Congress. His video at Congress.
Oh,
dude.
I know.
That was exactly
the only movie I don't think he got stoned in was the Green Hornet, and that was a piece of shit.
maybe he should have
you know,
been high for that.
I mean, what he needs to do is just actually do a.
I've always had
a real character instead
I've
of playing
had a
himself.
He's done real characters
I like
before.
Seth Rogen. I
What's
like
the
him.
No. Take this waltz.
He's
yes,
fantastic.
You need
yes.
to watch that, Bob.
He
if
just,
you haven't seen it,
I don't know if you've noticed when he goes and does that stoner, you know, man-child role. He makes lots and lots of money.
Oh,
I think he's pretty okay with that because weed's expensive, or at least the kind of weed he smokes. I don't know. I like Seth. I've always had a soft spot ever since Freaks and Geeks. I've had a soft spot for James Franco and Seth Rogen and Jason Segel and all those guys.
Who doesn't love?
And
James
I like
Segal,
most of those
honestly.
Movies, but it's just the same. Like, there's not. This is the end was fantastic, but it was I think it was more fantastic for all the people they managed to shoehorn in there and get all the sight gags and stuff like that.
And the situation.
It's not like any of those movies are high comedy or high cinema, but they're fun.
The best IMDb fact about This Is the End. The best
I know
IMDb...
you did, Aaron.
I'm just confused.
Okay, so the best IMDb fact about This Is the End is every actor said no to something. They tried to push the boundaries so far. Every actor said no to something except James Franco. He did whatever was asked of him. So,
my personal favorite is when they showed showed Michael Cera, like asked him to be in it, told him what they wanted to do. He was totally cool with it. He's like, but you have to let me wear this like windbreaker jacket.
Yeah, he brought the windbreaker to set. Yeah, no, that's
so
fantastic.
Jacket. Like, all right,
okay. Cool. Who stole my phone, guys? This is totally embarrassing. No, it's a great one, and the one thing that I will give them credit for, you bring up that group of guys, Jason Segel, James Franco, Seth Rogen, behind
Judd
camera
Apatow.
To the side, but those three, speaking of them in particular, they're very talented individuals, very smart individuals too. It's not just, they're not just, you know, you talk about the character they play, but these guys write, they direct. I mean, talk about everything James Franco does at one time. He just goes on soap operas because he wants to be on soap operas while he's teaching classes about how to act like James Franco while he's getting his, what, like 29 millionth degree or something at school while, while writing books and voluntarily teaching dance, like, ballet theater in New York. He was doing
Iggy
that too.
A little crush on James
I do
Franco.
Have a crush on James Franco. And he has his pillow girlfriend Talia. So, that's a 30 Rock reference.
You're getting, you're getting a little creepy with the
James Franco logo.
That was a 30 Rock reference.
Have you seen the hands down his pants?
Have you seen the Dave Franco Funny or Die video?
No.
Called "Go Fuck Yourself, Dave Franco."
No.
I need everyone to go and watch this.
Okay, we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait. So you don't pull it up and we hear a little bit of audio in the background and then you two start arguing again, children, about something. Calm down. Calm down, Aaron. Anyways.
Aaron's just a little dogmatic.
Eyes
tonight.
Just bugged what? Out of her head.
But no, in talking about all them, so it doesn't sound like I'm just about Franco, but I mean, Siegel even wrote all the music for his, he had help with the Muppets. He wrote for Getting Sarah Marshall, though. He wrote all the music. He wrote a lot of music in there, but he writes the screenplays. Yeah. Brett McKenzie from the Flight of the, Flight of the Conchords.
His name is Britt.
Was that? I'm sorry, what was
Britt?
That?
Britt? That's what I said. No, Britt. Britt? Yeah, Britt.
Brett?
Oh, Brett. That's what I said, Britt.
Speaking of, and we've, like, the second Muppets, the cameos. If you want to talk about great cameos, you go to that one. You guys saw it, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's every Muppet movie
I know.
Since. The but, Muppet movie, like
but
cameos
the
is what
three
movie.
The three prisoners,
oh, yeah,
and the
yeah.
best, the best right there, especially. So, anyways, all right, Bob, where are you taking us next?
You're the host.
You're doing a great job of keeping me on topic and keeping them from arguing.
I don't know what's
I think
been going
pretty
on.
Fair to say that we're all the host.
No, because Adam isn't here.
Well, Aaron's yeah, just trying
kind of
to
turning into a.
I'm the host.
Am I getting a little too upjumped?
I need Adam here, or I mean, I don't know.
Do I need to be?
I really
want to
get. I want to pick up.
He wants to talk about books, and he needs
Let's
Adam here
Adam.
To take
Let's
it into.
Call Adam
and I actually read two new books the last 2 days.
They're you were reading crazy. Last night while we were Twitching.
Well, I made a mistake.
Twitching
so.
While we were on Twitch TV. Sounds like while we were doing drugs.
while we were doing Twitch. No, I made a mistake, not last night, but the night before, in that I was really bored, didn't have anything to do, and I've been waiting. I haven't been reading because I've been waiting. I took a little break waiting for Jim Butcher's The Skin Game to come out. Jim Butcher's new book comes out tomorrow. And I was like, I'm going to pick up something to read. I'm going to find something quick and short and easy to read. And I picked up, there's a series of books that's really popular in like the urban fantasy / like romance thing called the Mercy Thompson books by Patricia Briggs. So I picked up the first one. It's like 300 pages. I'm like, I'll just sit down and read this, see if it's any good. A lot of people talked well about it. And it's been like 48 hours, and I'm on like the third one now, because I get in that thing where I'm like, I gotta keep reading them. And they're not great. They're good. The pacing's fun. The writing can be a little bit clunky. It's getting better as I get through the books, and like the stories are fun. They get a little bogged down in the whole spunky female shapeshifter car mechanic has trouble choosing between hunky mysterious sexy werewolf number one and hunky neighbor, sexy werewolf, single dad number two, like the your typical and a vampire in the mix somewhere there, like your typical urban fantasy romance. But otherwise, I get my Dresden fix tomorrow, so everything will be fine. I think. I hope.
All right, we got Watch Dogs tomorrow too.
Watch Dogs tomorrow. Oh, that was what I was going to talk about. Adam is I really want someone to buy, or I want to buy. The new Wolfenstein, because I loved, like...
Is that tomorrow as well?
No, it came out last week.
Oh, last, that's right.
We're going to get that.
I don't have time to play video games right now, but I need someone to get it to at least tell me if it's good enough to waste time playing. It's getting really good reviews, and I mean, I've always loved, like, between, you know, old school Wolfenstein 3D all the way up to, like, Return to Castle Wolfenstein, like, I love all those games, and apparently this new one is fantastic.
The videos they have, that the advertisements for it look pretty good, so...
Watch Dogs. Like killing Nazis.
Watch Dogs is a big one coming out too tomorrow. Yeah. So, a lot of is what George puts it. Grand Theft Auto rules.
Grand Theft Auto rules.
Can we talk about the new Draft House movie?
Which one?
Cheap Thrills.
Oh, so Cheap Thrills did. I think tomorrow is actually its official release date.
That's the David Koechner and.
Yep.
and Ethan Embry.
Yes.
Yep.
Ethan Embry sure as heck looks like a nice.
He looks grown up now.
Ethan Embry will always
nice
be
I like it.
The guy from Can't Hardly Wait for Me.
Oh, see, Empire Records.
Yeah, right?
Empire Records.
That was my favorite role he was
no,
in.
No, Empire Records.
You do too. What's that?
Empire Records.
Nah.
Yeah,
the guy pining after
the
Jennifer Love Hewitt and loving Barry Manilow songs.
Yeah,
Can't
I forgot about that, but that's true. I forgot how much you love that movie, too.
Hey, Tyler, I love that movie.
Do you? Can't Hardly Wait?
I freaking love it.
I do
love
it, too.
Crap out
so you're saying he's kind of tall and wears T-shirts sometimes.
No, the movie was...
yeah, that's him.
The movie is definitely interesting. We watched it. We got it last week, part of Draft House Alliance. You know, you get the... They send them to you, and oftentimes early.
It looks terrifyingly kind of creepy.
It is. It really... It's slow to start. It gets going. It's kind of awkwardly funny, and then in the end it gets dark, and it's but deep down it's like, wow, this is like such a like there's such a message behind it too, and not like a oh here's my political message in your face, but like a truly like oh that works, because deep down it really it shows humanity.
There's a theme in that you kind of have to like, what are you doing your life for? Like,
good way to put it without saying spoilers, but I'm over here like Bob treading on the spoiler line. Like,
I just
trying not to
cross
say,
they do this and holy shit.
They do some crazy stuff
in
there.
It's freaking nutballs.
What is he? So he pays them what, like $300 to, it starts early. Like, oh, you go over there and have her slap you and I'll pay you this much money. And oh, if you piss on your friend's shoes, I'll pay you this much money. And it's funny. And like, there's some pretty elaborate stuff they have them do. And then they even take
super
it farther out of competition. Yeah, there's a...
Yep.
Let's just say not everybody's holding it all together by the end of the movie.
You're going to, like, want to vomit a few times, maybe?
It's a good one. That one, well, though, and they just released... The trailer now is really floating around for their new film, Mood Indigo, that hits theaters this month, too. That looks really good.
I actually just saw the trailer for
that.
It looks like Tati meets Terry Gilliam, really, to be honest.
It's got some interesting stuff going on in it.
But I really felt like you're taking that old French style, kind of bubbly, just whimsical Tati style that, there was a recent movie that Aaron loves called The Fairy that really plays into that. And then
movie.
It feels like you just hit it with a heavy dose of Terry Gilliam just all through there. And it, to me, that sounds like a winning formula.
I mean, it's Michel Gondry. It's what he does. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously, the biggest one everyone from him knows is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Mm-hmm.
But he directed and wrote. And then one that not a lot of people saw that's really kind of surreal and trippy but super good is Science of Sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also did, what's the Mos Def and Jack Black, Be Kind, Rewind? That was him as
well. I wasn't blown away by that one, though.
I like that one a lot. That one was fun.
It was, like, it was worth the watch.
We were expecting, like, freaking crazy awesome.
It's funny.
And then someone
hired him, and
I don't know why, hired him to direct the Green Hornet, which we pretend that one didn't happen, but I like Michel
Was
Gondry.
He the director of Green Hornet?
Michel Gondry?
Yeah. I didn't even know that.
He did every other movie he does, he like wrote it and directed it and stuff like that. Green Hornet, he was just hired on as the director.
Well, a lot of times those superhero movies will not have them right, but no, and he does a lot of French work too, like that's not over here on the stateside as well. Mm-hmm. So I mean, he does a number of other movies. There's a lot of it. I wonder too. I can't say this for him, but there are a lot of filmmakers, Jackie Chan, notable one of them, who do a lot of American movies for the money, so they can take it back and make movies back for their home country and stuff. So
yeah.
I don't know.
I tell you, I saw one preview. I actually saw it today, and I'm really excited about it. It's called Life Itself. It's the story of Roger Ebert.
Oh, I'm so pumped about that movie.
So
well, because have you read his book, Life Itself? It's really good. I've always been a huge, his reviews I read every week, and I followed his blog and his Twitter, and I've read a lot of his books, like Your Movie Sucks, or the movie yearbooks he did every year, and
Siskel and Ebert were the only reviewers that I would trust.
Yeah. He was the first person to ever win a Pulitzer Prize for film criticism.
Yeah.
I want to be that guy. He's related to me, by the way.
Roger Ebert?
Like, yeah.
But like, the movie looks fantastic.
Yeah, it looks so good. It just looks great.
I didn't watch the trailer, but I saw it online that there was a trailer. I still haven't, to be honest, I still haven't even watched the Super 6 trailer.
It's like a really short, like little teaser thing.
No, they released the trailer after that teaser now.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
What is it? Is it more than just like the little thing with the putting the armor
yeah,
on?
Yeah, it's supposed to be the full trailer. They released, you remember last time you were talking about they do like the teasers for the trailers. That first short one, I saw that one because that's just the teaser for the trailer.
I didn't realize
that. And then Tuesday or Wednesday, they released the actual trailer last week.
I didn't realize there was another one. I'll have to go check that out.
I've seen like 8 links to it like every time I come here, and I still just haven't taken the time to sit down and watch it. You know, me being at the office all week last week and everything, I guess I just didn't have time to see it, but I don't know why I haven't watched it either, because I'm really interested to see what it's doing, because it's another one of those small Marvel franchises, and it's fantastic because they're doing it animated. In, I mean, it's the world of Disney doing it, too, so I mean, it's...
I mean, I'm interested to see what they do with it.
Yeah, for sure. That, not to mention, yeah, like, I found an awesome, awesome vintage fan art for Guardians of the Galaxy fan poster.
Really cool.
Really? It's going up on the blog this weekend. Really cool. So...
I've seen some fun ones. It's all of a sudden everyone is trying to cash in on that Guardians of the Galaxy cachet. You know, like I don't know how many different cool like posters or T-shirts or random things I've seen.
Do it now before you get inundated with it all.
Yeah, left and right.
I love my Calvin and Hobbes Rocket and Groot shirt. By the way, I'm just going to put it out there. That one, as soon as I saw it, and there was a lot of comments on. I believe that one was T Fury that day. It might have been ripped. There was a lot of comments about how it just wasn't good. I don't know. Maybe it's the soft spot in my heart for Calvin and Hobbes. That shirt was perfect, to be honest. And I liked it more than the other one, although it seems like people have been more responsive because I ordered both of them because they had the two shirts mm-hmm. that day. So I had the Groot loops that I got with yeah. it. Mm-hmm. And everybody else seems to like that one more, but I like that.
The best one I saw was a Ren and Stimpy reference one. And it is a picture of like a log. Like just like a little song off.
Oh
log.
Yeah,
it has Groot's face Groot on it one, yeah. with like a little branch coming out of it, and it says it's big, it's heavy, it's Groot.
Yes,
like it's big, it's heavy, it's log. It's everyone's favorite, or what's it? It's big, it's heavy, it's wood. It's log, rolls
it,
down.
It's wood.
It's big, it's fast.
No, wood. It rolls downstairs. Is the Slinky one?
No, but no, but that's making fun of Slinky. That's the whole thing. Right. It rolls downstairs.
Runs
over your neighbor's
dog.
It's big. It's heavy. It's wood.
Yeah, that one was
it's
on.
Great for a snack and something to suck. It's log. If it's on your back, it's great for a snack. It's log.
That one was on when you were over last week. That one was on ripped when we looked at the because they
it's
released
big. It's heavy. It's Groot.
Well, they released the movie poster things or whatever, or the record covers.
Oh, the record covers. I saw one they did of Guardians of the Galaxy that was the same as the Appetite for Destruction,
yeah.
the Guns N' Roses one yeah. that did, like, Skulls of, like...
Everybody's doing that, though, like, for everything. Like, I
well,
feel like
a,
I've
it's
seen
it's an
that.
Iconic movie, and it's fun, because you have the four faces, you can do what
I
you
know.
Want with the faces and stuff like that.
I don't know. Anyways.
So, hey, guys, where are you guys going this weekend?
We're going to Indie PopCon, so when this airs, we will be actually opening the doors. We won't be opening the doors. I guess they'll be opening the doors to Indie PopCon. We'll be set up booth 841 in the podcast area. We will have some stage time. I don't know when yet, but we'll get stage time that weekend to hang out. I think we'll have Red Star Cosplay and Nightmage up on stage to talk about the cosplay cookbook with us. So
Nightmage is going to be there?
Nightmage has his own booth there, too. Whoa. So he's going to be there. He'll have prints that give money. He takes it to charity. That's what he does.
All that he
Great
does
guy.
Is like the best.
I think that's where he's debuting as Shredder. I mean, like he posted the pictures online.
I saw the picture
really
of it. It's fantastic.
But he... I think, like, the convention debut of it is there. Yeah, he'll be pretty awesome. We'll be working with the Portrait Dude cosplay photographer who works a lot with Nightmage. So he'll be working a lot with us that weekend. I'm pretty excited. It was a last-minute one, taking a small staff, smaller booth. So maybe we'll just sit around more and actually do more podcasts.
I'm sad. I'm not going to be there.
I know, Bob. We'll miss you.
Yeah, I'm going to be up north.
Up north? No, well, not as far north as us.
Well, no.
But then
somebody's got to save lives.
2 weeks behind that, we got Denver Comic Con, which we just found out we're booth. What did I say it was 922?
Something like that.
Something like that.
922, and then we also have the podcast area. Looking at some of the booths there.
Well,
some,
what is it about the same size as last
it's,
year?
It's a little bit. It looks a little bit bigger. They've moved the celebrities in with the exhibitor, like to the side of the exhibitor, so it's not across the convention hall anymore.
On the other side of the...
So the flow of... If you thought the flow of traffic worked great last year, it's going to be fantastic this year because you go up
it didn't work great last year.
Well, but it, well, I mean, there was traffic everywhere just because it was so packed.
And you go down the hall.
I'm talking about in the exhibitor hall. So you'll come in the entrance, which we're actually pretty close to the entrance, too. We got some pretty good.
Not 5 feet from the exit like we were last year.
No, which ended up working out.
That worked out great for us. Don't get me wrong, but.
No, we're by the entrance for that, for our exhibitor booth.
You were so angry about it.
And, so you walk in through there, then you can head up to the artist and then scroll over to the celebrities now at the exit. So, I mean, it's going to drive traffic. And then kind of in the middle there is that comic book classroom. They've pulled all the movie cars, all that stuff that they had in the middle, and they've put in more booths there. And they've pulled all that.
Is the classroom still right there front and center?
Yes. Yeah. So that's in the center. When you walk in, you're going to have Steam Crow again.
Is he going to be there again?
Yeah. He's set up right in the same spot he was last year. And then you have Denver Comic-Con's booth. And then you have the Geek Chick furniture stuff over. Those are the stuff as you walk in. Those are the
geek
three
chick.
Main things. But the comic book classroom's in the middle, and instead of behind it being the cars, they've moved that to the other side now where the celebrities were last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, the car positioning was a little odd.
And then where the stage was, it's not on the map, but they let us know last night where the stage was last year. They were doing the Guitar Hero. Mm-hmm. And that area, is my understanding, is where they're setting up the Podcast Peak stuff.
Okay.
So we'll be in that area with the PS4, Nerdcast, behind the cosplay, and then we'll be at the exhibitor booth with our shirts. So we might have to do a restock in shirts before we get there. I'm really thinking now's the time to roll out the Deadeyes X-Force variant on gray.
Gray with black on it?
Yeah. What do you think? Think we should go for it?
I feel like that's kind of a deep cut for some people.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I thought
I
it'd be
seen
a,
it. So.
We still deal with all the people who walk in and think it's a Spider-Man shirt.
Really?
I don't know how many people come by the booth and think it's a Spider-Man shirt.
Really? I haven't talked to anybody that thought it was a Spider-Man shirt.
A lot of people think it's a Spider-Man shirt.
But it doesn't look anything like Spider-Man.
Yeah, but I'm not obviously not
just
smart
say
people,
yeah, sure, yeah, it's people. Spider-Man here.
I definitely sold to someone who thought it was. I was like, yeah, sure. Hang on, Spider-Man wow. shirt. Yeah, totally.
Oh. Well, you're not going to be like, actually, this is a Deadpool shirt.
I mean, you would do that.
No,
I'm not going to.
No, come on.
And you would argue
I'm
with them.
I'm actually surprised that you didn't do that.
The best two is
I'm there to sell things. I'm there to close sales. Iggy's there to wait after I've closed the sale and then just give the shit away for
let's
free.
Let's not on the podcast. Anyways, I actually started editing behind the cosplay. Gillyweed got us some fantastic intros. They're hilarious. But the one I edited today was with Adam J and Batwoman, and he does call her Batgirl. To open up. Completely rolls with it, too. That's what I love about Adam J. He just rolls with it. And I was like, I could cut that part out because it's right at the beginning. But he references it again throughout there that he's an idiot.
That
doesn't
he's an
know.
Idiot?
Yeah. The best part, though, is he like asks her, okay, well, what's your real name? She's like, I can't give you that information. He's like, oh, okay. Well, so really
Wait,
good.
Can we watch it? Can we watch it right now?
No. We can watch it after the podcast. Okay. I don't know if it saved my editing because that's when my computer
when
finally just took a nap.
When can our general public listeners
Well, that's up in the air right now. I was going to bring up something with that, but there's some announcements around the YouTube stuff that I can't quite, I don't know if we're ready to say it this week, so I have to be secretive.
Mm. So, ooh, ominous.
Yes. I know. This sounds good.
So we'll start rolling those out again. I guess we can go ahead and hint at that July 1st will be a major, major change for Project Nerd, that this will be the first time we're actually publicly announcing that July 1st, the new Project Nerd will be online. So... and
are
part
we
of
all
that,
fired?
Yes, oh. We're going to have major layoffs. But part of that is the YouTube
Severance
channel,
package?
Which does is a pretty exciting.
You were getting
project.
Paid before?
Yeah, your severance package is 70% of what you're currently making. So,
oh, okay.
You can do the math in your head, hopefully pretty quickly. Perfect. So, anyways, that's some exciting stuff going on with Beyond the Coast. Cosplay. Hey, we do have a number of those ready to roll out still, so we will get back into that YouTube stuff as a lot of the back half of this year. We're going to produce quite a bit of stuff, and I know Tyler's got a grin on his face because he's starting the groundworks on a new video podcast or a
couple different things. We're working
yeah,
on
so
right now in the
pretty
works,
exciting
so
stuff.
We'll see.
Anyways, but Indie PopCon, I just ran with it and started talking about the future of Project Nerd. This is the state of the website address, I guess. I don't know.
So after Denver, we have a little bit of a lull between our next convention.
We take our, we call it our San Diego Comic-Con lull because we don't go there. We don't, like, and well, no other conventions show up around then because, you know, nobody's going to compete with that one. So, yeah, we take it a little easy for that. But then we're going to head out to Montaku, Kansas City in August. This will be our first show to do the street team. So, as where we have a lot of firsts with our conventions this year, Indie PopCon now being our first as an invited guest. We have an invitation to Denver and Rocky Mountain Con. Rocky Mountain Con's in October, but Montaku will be our first street team. So, trying a bunch of different things with these shows so we can get more of a presence, get more content out to you guys. So, for those of you listening, and we do know we have another confirmed listener, but I'll let that story be told off the air. So, it's a fun one.
What? What are you talking about?
Never mind.
So we're up to like 3 or 4 now?
I think so. Actually, not this past episode. The episode, which is going to piss Tyler off, the episode we did right before we took our break. Uh-huh. And maybe that's why more people listened to it. It had more listens than we'd had in a long, long time.
And then Iggy was like, I'm not going to make any more for like 2 weeks.
Oh, two whole weeks.
There was a
don't act like it's not your fault.
What? I didn't say it wasn't my fault.
Okay, cool.
So there was a lot going on.
I know. I get that. I feel you. I just blame you.
We're here again, and we're on, what are we on, 17?
16.
16?
But we don't have Adam.
I know. Poor Adam.
Poor Adam.
Poor Adam's on the beach somewhere. Let's calm down. Poor Adam's like getting drunk at a wedding and hanging out on a beach. Yeah. He's fine. I think he's fine. Let's not give any of that poor Adam nonsense.
No, he won't be driving back till this weekend.
Oh. Yeah, they were there for a while, because it was like a prep for a wedding and a wedding all together.
Yeah, the wedding's not till Friday.
Yeah.
Like when this is airing.
Oh, that's right.
So okay. They're probably getting like a week of vacation out of it too.
They're doing a lot of things.
We got a few more minutes. Let's close with something that maybe is more exciting than the children arguing or us talking about the state of the website address or things like that.
Are you talking to me or are you talking to them?
I was talking about these two over here.
The children?
And I'm pointing to Aaron and Tyler. Yeah, so I don't know. We get close on something exciting besides the fact we're in the PopCon, besides the fact the Cosplay Cookbook is still up and funding.
I was waiting for you. You still have yet to say anything about it. I was going to wait for it.
You know, I'm trying not to cram it down people's throats. I know. We're trying not to.
Not unlike a bacon biscuit?
Yes, there's some good pictures of that, too. We'll release that whole series of images no matter what. I mean, we paid for them,
I feel like maybe we should release them now. And people are like, oh, so that's what you were talking about. Okay. I'll give you money for that.
Okay. All right.
I'll say what they're not giving us money for.
All right. Thank you, Tyler. Anyways, anything else exciting?
It's gonna be a great Christmas present.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a great stocking stuffer.
Do you have your cookbook?
Will it fit in a stocking?
I'm gonna get you a stocking. We should sell them with giant oversized stockings.
By the way, speaking of the pre-order going on, so somebody in this room did do a pre-order.
It was me.
And then adjusted his order down. And then adjusted his order back.
Well, you know why.
I wasn't naming any names.
It was me. Because I was wanting to get a print, too.
Bob, I think you can manage to get a print, too.
I mean, I think I know a guy who can get you a print for the Cosplay Cookbook shoots.
I wanted to put in my support for the Cosplay Cookbook.
So you went down in
money. I know, because I was saying, I can add, it says you can edit, and so I said, then I'm going to add a print.
Okay.
And
then
when I added a print, it
took off the
cookbook. This makes a little more sense.
And I'm like going, what the hell?
This was the first, because we had gone, I mean, no hiding it right now, we're obviously not blowing this out of the water with our Kickstarter, but this was we were getting contributors every day. It's the English is hard for me today. I don't know why.
My personal favorite so far today though was definitely Geek Chick.
Okay,
that was your best one.
Yes,
that was up there with Coscoacher.
That was Aaron's. So before you hand me that one,
no.
Well, I know, but you say Coscoacher.
No, that's what she said.
That's what I used to say, but...
See, you're putting all of Adam's stuff on me today. You're putting all of Aaron's stuff on me today.
He taught me how to say it, and now he says Coocher.
Yeah,
by the way, I'm noticing Aaron's little Katniss Everdeen single ponytail off to the side of her.
Really? So?
Anyways. So, the cookbook. So, we'd gone, like, every day we were getting funding. And then we went a whole day, like, where we didn't see a single fund. Like, nobody came in, and I was checking it that night, and I'm like, whole day without anything, and the next thing you see is like I'm literally on the email and have it pulled up when the next thing I knew is I get a new email on the screen or on this tab, and I'm like, and the cookbook number, because it refreshes automatically and it changes, and I was like, what the crap, it went down. And it's Bob Garrett has changed his from this amount to this amount. I was like, Bob, come on. That was my thought. I was like, after the first day where we don't see a single perk claimed, and I was like, yeah, but he did change it back.
So you had something we were going to go with. You more exciting than Indie PopCon, more exciting than the Cosplay Cookbook.
I'm saying we needed to close on something.
I thought you were building to something. Like something
I don't know. I need something from y'all. I can't even speak English. I can't even speak English today, let alone come up with something that was really exciting.
What is going on right now that is exciting? I don't know.
We do have something going on in July now.
What?
So let's talk about that. Elite Comics is having We Are Batman Day.
We Are Batman.
So we're going back to Kansas City July 26th, and they're going to try, and I'm sure they're not the only one, and actually I know for a fact they're not the only one trying this, to celebrate Batman's 75th anniversary. There's a lot of places trying to break the record for most people in Batman costume in one place, you know, for one time. And Elite Comics in Kansas City will be trying that as well, and we'll be out there for that as well. A lot of great talent, Kansas City local talent, cosplayers, all that fun stuff will be out there too. So we had a good time last time we went to Elite. Maybe Tyler will join us this time.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, some people have jobs that they have to go to work for.
So
I went.
So when you say the most Batman costumes, so like, is that okay if we're like in Batman related costumes?
No, I asked, and it has to be Batman.
It has to be actually dressed as Batman.
If you would follow me on Facebook more often, you would see that I asked Elite Comics.
I'm going to follow you.
Okay.
On Facebook.
Can I wear my Batman underoo? House. Would that count?
I don't know. They're going to have like cardboard or paper, whatever, cowls and capes for you to put on. So you can put it on
you
over
should
your
wear,
clothes.
Iggy has a Batman shirt.
With a cape. Has a Velcro cape. I should pull out the cape and wear it.
I want to
wear that
in the bedroom? Can I do a sexy Batman?
Yes. Do a sexy Batman.
I want to do a sexy Batman.
Anyways, phrasing.
I love it.
So
you're like a college girl on Halloween.
So
that's slutty.
We
sexy cat.
No, you
sexy
put the word
nurse.
Sexy in front of it. Sexy Rick Grimes. Sexy watermelon.
Sexy nurse.
How many sexy
Batman?
No,
will be
no Halloween.
Sexy shark.
Yeah, I'm
attack
pretty sure a sexy Batman it's just becomes a Batwoman / Batgirl / Huntress. Like.
No. Sexy Batman is all Batman because Batman is sexy.
I mean, the problem that you're running into with Batman is...
Yeah, George Clooney's version of Batman is sexy Batman.
Period.
I'm saying is you doing a sexy Batman is...
You can't do a sad Batman like Ben Affleck.
Oh, and yes. Yes, can somebody cosplay a sad Batman?
I feel like
Bob,
someone probably will.
Bob, we need you to do that.
Do you have to look down all day?
Yes.
Is that how you pull that off?
Yeah.
Got to be moping. Bring tissue.
All right, so that's it. We didn't close. Well, I guess that was exciting. Sexy Batman. That's
we
exciting.
We were having a good talk about Batman.
All right, but we're time's up.
Go see X-Men.
Go see
Definitely
X-Men.
Definitely see
Come
X-Men.
See us at Indie Pop.
Well, I was wondering, so I say time's up because I'm waiting for Tyler to do his last chime in. So he's saying, go see X-Men. Go see us at Indie PopCon.
Read Skin Game.
I was waiting for you. He's going to say read something. And pick up Watch Dogs. But if you do, go to our website, click on the banner at the top, and buy it from there because we need your help. So,
wow, that was shameless.
Help us, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Like, I mean, let's be honest. Like, usually the shameless self-promotion is there, but it's there. It's. I mean, you at least make an attempt at subtle. That one was.
I feel like
you special.
Should.
We need help
in
with
Garth
the
Brooks shameless right now.
No, we need help with the affiliate links. I mean,
I get what you're saying. I'm feeling you. Throw us a little scratch.
Click on the damn banners.
Do it.
That's a little bit more. Okay. All right. So, anyways, signing out for majority of the Nerdcast crew. Because we all feel sorry for Adam, except Tyler, who's convinced he's drinking on a beach somewhere right now, which he
what
probably
would you
has.
Be doing right now? I would be drinking.
I would
on
not
beach
be in North Carolina. That's all I'm going to say.
Sure. But if you were in North Carolina on the beach for a wedding, you would be on the beach drinking. I think yes.
I'd probably be eating a lot
and drinking.
Yeah.
There would. Never mind. We won't get into. It. Anyways,
there'd be sick cats everywhere.
Yes, the cats everywhere. So all right. Well, our next episodes will probably be from Indie PopCon. We'll have enough
or
coverage.
In the car.
Have enough coverage to give you 2 weeks worth, hopefully.
Like I've already planned this out. I already got a plan.
All right,
are
Tyler's got a...
Can we play Cards Against Humanity on the way to...
In the car.
That doesn't sound safe.
In the car.
No, you got to know...
while podcasting.
No, while you're driving, you got to do Little John's songs. Oh, yeah!
Bob and Jose did a great job. I didn't save
I'm
the video.
I'm so glad that Adam and I rode in a separate car from the three of you.
All right, this time for real. Signing out for the Nerdcast crew. We will catch you next week.